You turn in your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. We're going to read verse 6 through verse 9. And this has to do with the title of the message, A Breach Upon Uzzah. I assume you're familiar with the story. If you're not, you'll get some idea of it here. David had wanted to bring the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem, and he attempted to do such. And starting in verse 6, he says, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Well, how shall the ark of the Lord come to you or any of us? I believe that this breach of Uzzah continues unto this very day. I know so many in religion. I talk to people every week. I spoke to a man for over an hour last night that yet seek to help God. What on God's earth could any man do to help God? What could be more demeaning than a mortal seeking to help an almighty, sovereign God? If you turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, And it continues the our text of about the breach of Uzzah. He said, "For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order." Everything with God has an order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Do you see it? You see, what David tried to do and what David directed was they were to use oxen. God never said use oxen to bring the ark of God. God had an order. And he said you use sanctified Levites, you use sanctified priests. And there were rings in the ark of God, and they used staves, and these priests were to carry this ark. So what they do, they put it on a cart. We've got a better idea. We'll put the ark on a cart. And we'll use laymen. Not priests, but laymen. Uzzah was a layman. He was not a Levite. And he reached up to steady the ark, and God smote him. He killed him on the spot. And they use oxen. Oxen to bring the ark of God. Now, I could preach a whole other message there very, very easily. But I shan't at this hour. And if you look at verse 2 there in 1 Chronicles 15, then David said, he figured it out. He said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now, I don't think I could list all the ways, all these years I've seen in religion, that man attempts to help God in his religious views, in his religious worship and such. And it's all like we're doing God a favor. We must help God, you know. We must steady the ark. I would tell you today that ministering and helping are two vastly different entities, two totally different things. We are to minister to God. we are not to help God in any way, shape, or form. See how man at all costs, and especially today, fabricates salvation. We've got to help God get these people saved. Isn't that the way it is? If we don't help God, they'll go to hell. What a blasphemous thing to think that man has anything on God's earth to do with men going to heaven or hell. We have altar calls and rites of all sorts for salvation. But that's man. That's man's way. And all the while, the Bible says, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. Salvation's of the Lord. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, 6 through 8. That sound to you like something that God needs help with? According, the Bible says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Who shall change that? Who's going to change that? Man? Must we help God form that which was set before the foundation of the very world? You know, God set Job straight. He said, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? Declare if thou knowest it at all. Who can answer God? Has not religion become one big helper to God? Help God. Help God. Oh, if we don't send missionaries to Mexico or to South America, nobody will get... Where did that come from? Now, if God told you to go, you better go. But you see, we get these ideas to help God. Is that the almighty sovereign God that's preached today? The one that's blasphemously referred to the man upstairs or our pal, the big guy. How blasphemous. I can tell you that anyone who's ever truly come into contact with God was on their face trembling. And you will be also if you ever meet him. I spoke but two words on that fateful day. Two words passed my lips in the presence of God. Yes, sir. Two words. Yes, sir. And I didn't need long-sleeved checkered shirts. I didn't need to part my hair on a certain side or wear a certain type of breeches or a certain type of shoes to be more holy. The audacity we have today to steady the ark. The so-called preachers today, they're more like prophets of Baal before Elijah, jumping around and crying out and all for naught. A show of force without results, ministering and pleasing not God, but man. We're given very clear direction there in 1 Chronicles 15:2. He said, none ought carry the ark of God but the Levites. Now, you say, well, I'm not a Levite. Well, is that so? Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, he's talking to you and I here, but ye are a chosen generation. Do you see it? A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Very clear and precise direction is given to those in Christ right here. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you. You have passed from darkness to light, haven't you? You have obtained mercy, haven't you? Have you not tasted that the Lord is gracious? Can you not now, are you not able now, at this very hour, to carry the ark of God? Know ye not, your body is the very tabernacle, the very house of the Holy Ghost. This body. Now you examine yourself and stop trying to help God. I would ask the question, you need help to be a child of God? Since when do you have to tell sheep to be sheep? I observe animal people. Some of you may think otherwise, but I'm not an animal person. I don't care about giving names to animals, and I don't care about animals being pets. And it's like man has to help a dog be a dog, or a cow be a cow, or a duck be a duck. How ridiculous. Kind of like, you know, Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he sees the Father and the Son and the glory, and all of a sudden he wants to build tabernacles. God didn't tell him to build anything. Or when he went declaring, when Christ said, Peter said, don't go to Calvary. Don't get crucified, to which Christ called him what? You remember? Satan. Helping God. Sounds a little bit like Genesis, ye shall be as gods. Obedience. Obedience is what God desires, not help. Remember, Saul thought, when he used to kill all the Amalekites and all their animals, well, he thought it'd be a good idea to save the best. Perhaps he should have considered that God says to you and I, give no thought. I would ask, what thought needed for obedience? And I believe that's why we can't even pray as we ought. Because we give thought. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called four of the apostles, he called Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he used two words. Follow me. Not, hey, you know, if you come with me, we're going to do it. He said, follow me. And they what? Gave thought? No. The Bible says that straightway left they their nets and followed him. Straightway. And it says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I'd say no thought there. No more than my own, yes, sir. Yes, sir. As I read the other day of a patriot, no excuse, sir. Yes, sir. I said, give no thought. You see, Uzzah gave thought. Well, the oxen, they've stumbled. The ark could fall off this cart. And he gave thought, and it cost him his life. Why must we give thought to helping God? Why must we even give thought to the things of God? The world, yes. But to God, no. That's why we're not to even lean to our own understanding. But who can comprehend such a thing? We're not even to lean to our own understanding concerning God. I've seen more men go astray here than any other, giving thought and leaning to their own understanding. Give thought to building a tower, yes. Not to following God. Not to obedience in God. Not to helping God. As the old preacher told me, had a woman in his congregation one time, and she had asked him something, and he said, "Well, Lord willing," and she said, "Son, God's always willing. Are you?" How true. But you see, we're very calculating in our religion. Everything must be just so. You see, if God calls, now hear me, the way is already made. David would ask the Lord, "Should I go against the Philistines?" God would say yes, or God would say no, or God would say yes, but you go after them in this manner. Does he not call his sheep by name? Does he not lead them in and out? How can you be obedient to that which you cannot hear? Did he tell you? Did he ask you to walk naked in the earth 3 years? Probably not, no. But surely he has told you something, or you're not his sheep. You see, I serve a living God. Why must we live and worship as though God were but a stone or a symbol or an icon? We read Christ in you. Well, where is he? We read a holy people, a peculiar people, crucified with Christ, born again of his spirit, a new creature, all things new. And you want to steady the ark? You want to make a breach against a living God? Do you not reside at this hour before so great a cloud of witnesses? How can God not be alive and real? How can you be a sheep, chosen of God, Christ in you, new creature, born again, knowing all things? And then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, the royal priesthood, the chosen, the sheep. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Could this be you? Will one person be lost or saved because of you? What a blasphemous thought. One person in heaven or hell because of a man? Only one man, and only you, in your case. But I'm not responsible for you going to heaven or hell, nor are you responsible for me. How pompous. And you see, it's as the breach of Uzzah. Oxen, carts, helping hands. And that's today's religion. When all that's required is priests and staves. Obedience. Obedience to God's word. That's why I read the psalm that I did. Thank you, God. I have God's ear. What an incredible thing. I'm not speaking to a stone. And when I pray, Father, you hear me? Father, here I am. Father, how glorious. He doesn't need my help. I certainly need his. You see? how often we attempt to help as Uzzah, the breach of Uzzah. I believe the breach of Uzzah is all around us, in our midst, in our churches, in our religion. Not after the due order. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your obedience. He requires it.